Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we'd like to read two verses. Our thoughts this evening are going to pretty much parallel or be a bookend to what we were on this morning. My thoughts were drawn to this verse, or these two verses here in Psalm 139. Sort of goes along with a line in the first song we sung tonight about being tried and being searched and those kinds of things. We read here verse 23 of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The idea or the thought about what we leave behind, as we thought about it this morning, discovering it in the life of Joseph, is certainly a powerful thing. To consider your life summarized by God in one sentence, in one verse, can be a very overwhelming and very unsettling thought. And when it comes to those kinds of introspective pursuits, we find ourselves to be We find ourselves to be very inadequate at those so often, so uncomfortable with them, so unused to or so unwilling to open ourselves up and see what is truly within, truly is there. And the psalmist combats that here. He calls upon God to search him. He calls upon God to know his heart. Now, do you think that God did not know David's heart? Of course he did. Do you not think that he knew his thoughts? Of course he did. The idea here is that God invites, or that David invites God to search him, because David, or the psalmist here, as we do, find it hard to search ourselves. We find it hard to really take an honest look at who we are. Now, every time we open the Word of God, we actually find it being a mirror. We find it being a challenge to our inner man. We find it being a look at what we should be, and a picture or a inventory of how and where we fail. The problem is, a lot of times we don't let that get more than skin deep. We pass it off in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's, well, he's preaching to someone else, or that's convicting to someone else. Sometimes it's, yeah, that's probably something I should do or think about, and then it's on to thinking about something else. Sometimes it's just right over our head, and we just pass it off as not important. And probably a variety of other things as well. But the point is, we're not equipped in the flesh to be introspective, to look within ourselves, to open ourselves up. We don't like that. Especially us men, we don't like to bear ourselves and to show anybody, including ourselves, what is therein. And even women, though they may be more willing to share themselves with others, it is still a very unsettling thing to look inside and truly see, peeling back all of the veneers, peeling back all of the facades, and truly getting a glimpse at what we are as God sees us. And that's what he asks for here. He asks to be shown any wicked way. He asks to be shown thoughts. That's really what is at the heart of this. And the thought of what we leave behind, the thought of our lives being summarized by one verse or one sentence by God, really leads us down this path of self-examination, leads us down this path of having to open up ourselves to the conviction that is the Word of God, opening ourselves up to not only the possibility, but the sure reality that we are not what we should be, that we are not pursuing even in our heart the things of God as we should. And now we all may say as a defense, well, none of us are perfect, and that's true. But as we open ourselves up, as we search, as we invite God to search through His Word and through His Spirit, we are brought face to face with that reality. And when you are put in that real moment that shakes you and strips you down and removes all of the normal defenses and takes all those things away. And it's just you and God and you and God's Word. It's just you and the Spirit of God showing you what you need to do better, what you need to change, showing you what you've got wrong, or perhaps sometimes what you're doing right but need to do even better. In that moment, how do you react? How do you respond? It is so easy to run. It's so easy to flee. So easy to try to throw up another defense. But we need to, when we're faced with this thought, really give credence to that self-examination. Stop examining others. And examine yourself in the view of Scripture. Examine what you are leaving behind. Because as we said this morning, that will be what we are known for. And it's not about money. It's not about houses. It's not about possessions. It's not about an estate of things that may sit on a shelf and collect dust. It's not about those kinds of possessions. But instead, it is all about how we are known, how we are used, how we are influenced, or how we influence others. And so that is certainly an important thing. It's important because we leave things behind all the time. I guess what I'm trying to get myself to understand or think about is that I need to be intentional about what is being left behind. I mean, Joseph was very intentional, wasn't he? He said, no, I'm not going to give in to your advances, Potiphar's wife. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to intentionally leave you behind for the good of my relationship with God and to please and glorify Him. He further left behind, of course, the animosity, the bitterness. He said, no, I'm not hanging on to those things. I'm going to leave it. Intentionally left it behind. And because of that, because of his intentionality, he left behind a great testimony. He left behind a lot of wonderful things for us to pick up on and to follow after. And you know what? We need to be intentional about it as well. And that takes, again, being introspective. It takes being willing to feel the hurt and the pain, the sharpness of God's Word, feeling the rebuke, feeling those things, and working on that which is within, that which we are leaving behind. Because once we have done it and left it behind, there is no changing it. There is no going back. There is no doing it over. Now, we may get other opportunities. We may get other things that come into our life and we are able to do and leave behind some positive things. But that time, that whatever it is, we'll not get to do it over. And so I'm thinking about the searching here and being intentional about what we leave behind brought to me some very real things in life. Some very real things that when you really think about them in light of God's Word, they cut, they hurt. Because are we really doing as much as we should be doing, as much as I should be doing? It made me consider a few things that we'll think about here tonight before getting to Abraham for a few minutes. But just consider for a few minutes these thoughts. They may appear random to you, but they're what the Lord brought to my mind. Consider parenting. You know, there will come a day in your life when you will leave parenting behind. And I know some of you are going to say, as the old adage goes, you know, you're a parent for life. I understand that, and that's true, I suppose. I know that you will have an influence on their life, but you have to admit that when that child grows up, moves out of the house, and is on their own, under their own authority, under the authority of a husband, or whatever the case may be, things change. They're not yours anymore to raise, to be the primary caretaker for, to have the greatest influence on. That becomes their husband or their wife. That becomes someone else's job, if you will. And at that time, you can't go back. You can't change it. You can't say that I wish I had rather, you know, and go back and make it any different. And so we need to be very intentional about what we're leaving behind now, because there will come a time when we will leave the parenting behind and we will no longer have that ability to be such a great influence upon their life or raising them. And so it has led me to consider how I do that, led me to think about it. I mean, I've been a dad for as she'll tell you, 15 and a half years, almost 16 is actually what the terminology has become now in our house. But I've been a father for that long. That's a lot of years. I mean, that's a good chunk of time. What have I left behind? What have I been intentional about instilling and putting in there? And what am I leaving? Because there's going to be a time quicker than I want to think about when, at least for her, for my oldest, that I'll have to leave that parenting behind and transition relationship with her into something else. And so I can't go back at that time and change anything. I can't make it different. All I can do right now is moment by moment, day by day, leave behind in how I counsel, how I raise, how I lead, all of those kinds of things. And we need to be very intentional about that. You know, and you may be in the place in your life, and many of you are, where it's grandparenting instead of parenting. There's still a way that we do that as well and have an effect. How are you doing that? How is that going in your life? Are you being intentional about that and having the effect of influence? Because we will get to that place where we leave it behind and let it be with joy and not regret. Surely there are things that we all look back and say, oh, you know, I could have done that better. I could have done that in a different way. And I've learned from my mistake, or I'm certainly better now. But overall, let us be able to look at the big picture and say that we don't regret how we spend our time, that we don't regret what we left behind for them to learn and grow and mature into. Let us be intentional about those things. And you know what? It causes you to look at yourself in a different way, because your kids are looking at who you are. They're following what you do. And so it's not an easy thing. It's hard, because you have to be constantly looking inside yourself to see what you are leaving for them, what they're seeing in you. And so we need to be very intentional about that. What kind of impact am I having on them? What kind of legacy am I leaving behind in that sense? And what will it be like on that day or that time when I leave parenting behind completely? And, you know, we don't have that opportunity as much as we have now. That truly is a strip everything else down. You say, yeah, but you've had this obstacle, or you've had this hardship, or you've had... None of that matters. Because you have to parent in spite of all of those things. You have to be the parent that God has called you to be in spite of those hardships, in spite of those obstacles, in spite of those hurts, or whatever it is. We need to be very intentional about it. Consider our parenting, because we certainly only get a short time to do it. And we're going to give an answer. Answer to God for how we have raised our kids and the kind of parents we have been. And so, kids tonight, maybe you're listening to that thought and you're, you know, just kind of, well, he's not talking to me, he's talking about my parents. I hope you can hear in what I'm saying the struggle or the responsibility. Hear the love and the commitment and the difficulty that your parents put into raising you. It's not... you know, it's not an easy thing. And so we need to be very committed to it, very intentional about what we leave behind. This thought has also caused me to think about, as a pastor. Been considering this thought a lot lately as well. Because at some point in time, just like every other pastor that's came before me, I will leave you behind. And as far as I'm concerned, I hope that's when I die. I mean, that's just fine by me. But there will come a time, whether it's by death or the Lord simply saying there's another field for you to work in, there will be a time when I have to leave you behind, when we have to go to another place. And so it's caused me to think about what I will leave behind when that time comes. It's caused me to think about what kind of impact, what kind of influence I've had during this time, now that I've been your pastor. What kind of, you know, things have I left behind already? That if tomorrow that I was is dead or gone in some other fashion, you know, what, you know, can't change any of it. What have I left behind? I've seen how pastors in the past have affected this church in such a positive and wonderful way and overwhelming way. And I just pray that that will be the case, but I don't know. And so we need to be very intentional. I need to be very intentional about how I do that. It made me think about just like Joseph's life was summarized in a verse, in a sentence. God or the Lord was with him and he was prosperous. If the Lord summarized the time that I have spent as your pastor nearly 8 years now, I wonder what that sentence would be. I wonder what he would say, how that would be characterized. Not what I want to hear, not what I want it to be, not what I would hope you would say that it is, but the 100% truth of what God would put down for us to hear. What will be that sentence that sums up the time that I've spent here, or the time that we have left, the effort and the work that's went into the time that we've had together? I mean, it has been 8 years. That's a chunk of time, you know, and that's even longer than many pastors get to stay in some places. And so it makes me think about what kind of impact, what kind of things have I left behind? What, you know, how has the Lord used us in this place? And so, you know what, that's not an easy thing to think about. That's not an easy thing to consider, just like with parenting. It's not an easy thing to think about how we are doing and how we are being intentional about, you know, our things. And so it goes for the pastor as well. And not just me, but every pastor that has ever held that office has faced the same thing. You know, has the reality that he will have to give an account. Hebrews talks about that. And that he'll have to give an account for the time that he has spent in that office leading the people of God after the things of God. How will it be? How will that answer be? How will that time go? How will it be summed up? And so, you know, we're not just here taking up space. We're not just here, you know, biding time. That's not, you know, that's not the purpose of why we're here. We're here to be intentional about being used by God, no matter if we're talking about parenting or pastoring. But what about his church members? What about his church members? We never know when our relationship with the pastor will end and be left behind, but also with each other. There have been many people over the course or through the course of time that have left. And they have left us behind in a sense. I mean, they've went on to other things, whether they moved or just fell away into unfaithfulness or were disciplined for some other reason, or perhaps they have passed away, of course, and are with the Lord now. They've left us behind. And so we will leave each other behind and go on to be with the Lord. Perhaps some even in this place will leave to go for some other reason. I hope that's not the case, but what impact are we having on each other? You only have a limited time. You only have a limited space. You only have a limited opportunity for that to happen. And so we need to be very intentional about what we're leaving behind, because one day we will leave this church behind. And we all hope that that means death. It could mean the rapture, of course, and we all go. That'd be okay too. But what is that which you are leaving behind already? Those that are you know, in a position to be younger or look up to, or those that have maybe not as much history with the church and those kinds of things. What are you leaving behind already for them? And once you're gone, what will be left behind for them as well? We need to labor with this thought in mind and ask yourself, what am I leaving behind that will be useful to others? Be intentional about that. Be intentional about that faithfulness, about being used, about being available, about all of those kinds of thoughts, that we might be a blessing to each other in every way that we can. Because as much as we'd like to think it's forever, it's not. We know it's for time, and we know time has an end. We all will face death. We all will face that separation. Let us labor with that in mind. Sister Tussie was buried yesterday, and we all know that she has left us behind, and we rejoice in that. We rejoice to be able to say also that we are the better for it. We are the beneficiaries of her faithfulness and of her love. Now, it may have been harder to come by in the last few years because of her failing mind or because she hasn't been able to be at church in a number of years. But we all remember, and we all are beneficiaries of those things. She left behind a lot of blessings and a lot of encouragement. She left behind a lot of things for us. So when it's your turn to be left behind, when it's your turn to go, when it's your turn to have to step away, what will be left behind for you? Made me think about the verse, and I didn't write it down, but in 1 Samuel, when David is brought into the court of Saul, and that time comes when him and Saul begin to get into it, and Saul wants to kill him, and Jonathan escapes him away. But Saul notices something, doesn't he, at dinner? He notices something, and what is it that he notices? He notices the empty seat. There's an empty seat, and that empty seat spoke volumes to Saul. And there will be a time when the seat that you occupy now will be empty. And what will it say to us? What will it say to those that are left behind, or that you have left behind? Let it speak volumes. If we were to strip off the paddings of the pews, I don't know which one it is, but I remember there used to be one that was, the finish was worn off by Brother Dave's suspenders from many years ago. And you know what? That seat was empty after he died, but that mark was left, and it was a visual reminder of, what he had left behind. And we could think about many others as well that have left behind so much for us. And so what are we leaving behind as church members, as the children of God put in this place to serve the Lord? What is it that we are leaving? Be intentional about it as church members. Let us be able to be benefited by one another. And then the Lord also brought to mind in the thoughts of what we leave behind our relationships with our husbands and our wives as being married. It is so attacked today. It is so undermined. It is so what it's not supposed to be in society. And as we think about husbands and wives, we need to truly consider what we are leaving behind now. Crystal and I will have been married 18 years next Sunday. For some of you, that's, you got socks older than that, whatever, I know, I get it. But you know what? That's some years. That's a time. What have I left behind for her? What have I sacrificed? And so, kind of take this thought in a couple of different directions. As husbands, we need to be willing to leave behind those things that would draw us away from our husbands and our wives, or from our wives. We need to be willing to leave behind those things that would divide or separate us. Leave behind those things that would take our time, money, energy, desires. We leave behind, when we get married, the desires for other people. We have one, and we direct all of our love and desire and care towards them. We leave behind our pursuits, our hobbies, our recreation, even our friends. We ought to be willing to leave behind in order to have the relationship that we should have with our husbands and with our wives, so that we can focus totally and entirely upon one another. Have we been willing over the course of that time to leave those things? I can remember some things that held my interest as far as recreational things. I used to like to play golf quite a bit. I used to like to watch college football a lot, more than I probably should have in years gone by. And so a lot of those things I've left behind. They're not important to me anymore. I mean, who really cares about some of those things? I might enjoy them once in a great while now, but you know what? There's something more important to do with my time and my energy. There's something more important to do with my devotion and my love. And so we need to be very intentional about what we leave behind for our husband, and be willing to leave anything behind except the Lord in our pursuit of a godly marriage. And wives need to be willing to do the very same thing, that we might come together and be one as Christ and His church will be one after, of course, that marriage finally and fully takes place. The state of marriage in our country today is at an all-time low. It is undermined, is attacked. It is role reversal, even when people bother getting married today. I mean, It is in such a state of shambles, it's hard to even describe. But that's not how God would have us to be. And let us be intentional about what we leave behind, because there will be a time when you leave them behind in death. There will be a time. Don't know which one it'll be, whether it'll be me or my wife, who has to go to the graveside like we did with Sister Tussie yesterday, and only one of you come back. You know, we took her to the grave side yesterday, and that's what makes such the powerful picture of what death really is. You take your loved one to the grave. You've been with them. You've had them at the funeral home, and I know it's not them, but there's still the resemblance of who they were. You take them to the graveside, and you know what? They don't come back with you. You have to leave them behind in that place. And there will be a time, husbands and wives, when we have to leave one another behind. And we have to close the casket. We have to say goodbye. We have to leave them in the cemetery and go home. There will be that time. And you know what? We won't be able to go back and say, I wish I would have spent less time fishing, or less time boating, or less time at the office, or less time here or there, and more time working on my relationship, working at our marriage. We're not going to be able to do that. Let us be intentional about what we leave behind, because one day we will leave. One of us will leave the other behind. And there will not be time. I told my kids yesterday on the way back something I remembered from my childhood. My dad's mom died, I think I was in middle school, and remember having her funeral, and my dad's dad was an interesting man. He didn't talk a lot about his emotions. He's very gruff in a lot of ways, and he didn't always treat her the best, and so going through the funeral process with him was different. But anyway, I remember at the very last, I was there just a little boy standing with my dad and my grandpa, and seeing her for the last time before they closed the casket. And he took a note and put a note in there that apologized to her for basically, you know, treating her badly and being such a poor husband. And that may have helped him in some ways, but you know what? Didn't do a thing for her. Not at all. It did not do a thing for her, and it didn't change anything he had done. It may have helped him going forward, and that's fine. But we only get this time that we have now. And what we leave behind in marriage, we need to be intentional about it now, because we can't go back and change it. And so sacrifice whatever you got to sacrifice now. Give whatever you've got to give, and work as hard as you can at that. Because, you know what, it's not an easy thing. It's easy today to have the average marriage, the average relationship of the world, where he does his thing, she does her thing, and they see each other for a few minutes in the evening, and then they part ways again the next day. She does her things with her friends on Friday. You know, he goes out with the guys Saturday to play golf. All of those kinds of different activities where they're just married, but just living in the same house. That's all it really is. I mean, that's what marriage is boiled down to a lot in our society. It's not that hard to have that kind of marriage or relationship. But as God designed it in the Garden of Eden, you had Adam and Eve who were naked before one another, and that nakedness was not just in their clothing. But that nakedness was to be in every emotion, in every thought. That nakedness was to be in everything that they felt, in everything that they experienced. There was to be absolutely no difference, distinction, or separation between the two of them in any possible way. And that is difficult. That is hard. But that's what we can achieve, even today, in marriage. And we need to be leaving behind whatever gets in the way of that. We need to be leaving behind those things, because one day the separation will come and we'll have to say goodbye. And that day will be a very difficult day, no doubt. But let us focus, be willing to focus one on another. In this way. And these are just some practical applications to the thought about what we leave behind. And Lord, let us spend a few more minutes on that than maybe we had originally planned. But it made me think about Abraham, because a lot of times, like Brother Mike mentioned Sunday school this morning, we think about these things as just doctrines or just teachings that sit on a shelf. And they're there for us to look at or be curated in a museum. But these are real things that affect our real lives. And it did for Abraham. Abraham is a case study in leaving things behind in order to serve the Lord. We'll just run through them quickly and not take time to turn to these verses. You know Abraham's life. We know that the summary of his life was that he believed God. We mentioned that this morning. And Abraham, because he believed God, was willing to leave whatever it took behind to go forward in service. We know from Genesis 12:1 that there came a time when he had to leave his homeland. He had to leave that behind. Everything he knew, everything he grew up with, everything he had as far as comfort and surroundings, he had to leave all of those people, most of his family, behind. And he had to go in search of this country that God at first only promised to show him. Not even that he would dwell therein or be given to him, but at first the promise was just that he would see it. Didn't know where it was, didn't know how far away it was, but he went. He was willing to leave behind all of those things, sacrifice them all for what? For God. We need to be willing to leave whatever it is behind that God calls us to leave behind. And it wasn't easy. And he took some of his family with him, which turned out to probably be a hindrance more than a help. But Abraham left, and he took that great leap of faith. He started towards that place. This call took him away from all that he had known. How many of us are willing to leave anything behind to serve the Lord like Abraham was? Then we also see, as he left his homeland, he took with him his father, and he took with him Lot. Of course, he had Sarah with him too. But he took with him his father, and he took with him Lot. And we see before Genesis 12:1 even begins, in the last verses of Genesis 11, he had to leave his father behind. There came a point in time when God said, no, he can't go with you any further. They sojourned there in Haran for a number of years. And during that time, Terah died. He had to say goodbye to his father at the grave, but he further then had to say goodbye to his father as he left. As he left. You know, we find some comfort in going to the graveside of departed loved ones and feeling connected to them once again, having memories jogged and all those kinds of things. And that's a good thing to do. But there came a time when Abraham had to leave in the service of God, had to leave him behind. He could no longer have that luxury. Then, of course, in Genesis chapter 13, there came a time when he had to leave Lot behind too. When his herdsmen strode with Lot's herdsmen, and it came apparent that they could not any longer be together. Why is that? Because God needed them to be separate. He wanted them to be separate. And there came a time when Abraham realized the will of God was that I separate myself from my nephew. Had to leave him behind of sorts. He said, choose you. He went towards Sodom. Abraham, of course, went towards Canaan. And we know the end of that story. But Abraham had to separate himself from Lot at this time. And that certainly maybe was not an easy thing, but he understood that it was the will of God for that to be so. And he was willing to do it. How many of us are willing to separate ourselves from people or from circumstances today because God leads us to, because he wills it in our life, because he shows us that it's the right thing to do? You know, we may not understand it. But that is what God would have us to do, as with Abraham at different times in our lives, of course. I also thought about Ishmael. Now, as we think about Ishmael, our thoughts are so negative towards him, and we know what he has turned into today, still a major thorn in Israel's side, the mortal enemy of the nation of Israel. But you know what? There was a time when Ishmael was Abraham's only son. And there was a time when Abraham was convinced that it had to be through Ishmael that God would raise up the seed and God would bring what would become Israel. In Genesis chapter 17, verse number 18, he even takes a step of saying to God, you know, here's Israel or Ishmael, let him live before you. Basically what he was saying is, you know, here's Ishmael, let it be through him that you bring the seed. That was his plan. But God advised him differently. And you know what? There was that moment when he had to leave behind his plan for Ishmael. I mean, he had a plan, he had a desire, but God said, no, leave that behind. And he did. There even came a time when he had to leave Ishmael behind altogether. As Ishmael left and those kinds of things. So we see a lot of separation, a lot of Abraham having to leave things behind in the service of the Lord time and time and time again. And we haven't even talked about Genesis 22 and him going up to Mount Moriah. Think about all that he left behind. He had to leave Sarah behind in the camp. Came to the base of the mountain. He had to leave the servants behind as he went up the mountain. Basically, in sacrificing Isaac, Abraham proved he was willing to leave anything and everything behind to serve the Lord. And God said as much. He said, I know now that you will not withhold anything from me. He knew that he would be willing to leave anything should God call him to do it. In that one action, he did so. There came a time further in Abraham's life when he had to leave Sarah behind. She died. He buried her in Hebron, the cave there that he purchased, and we see that he had to leave her behind and move on with his life. He had to part with his dear one. And so the things that we kind of talked about at the beginning here, you can see really come through in Abraham's life. He has experienced all of these that we talked about today in a lot of ways, at least perhaps not pastor in church, but you can see relationships and those kinds of things in what Abraham has experienced. So we can see that he was willing to leave anything and everything behind. And so the question really becomes introspective in our lives. What are we willing to leave behind? And what are we leaving behind? Look at that from both angles. Because we will have an impact on people's lives in some way, positive, negative. Let us be intentional about what's left. Let us be intentional about how we are used of the Lord in their life. And take that very seriously. But you can't do it if you put a mask on, if you throw up barriers, if you're not willing to look within, if you're not willing to be vulnerable to the searchings of God and evaluate where you are, evaluate where you need to be, evaluate how you get there, and certainly how you can be used in all of these different and various ways. We all want to be like these Bible characters. We all want to be like men and women of the faith that we have known in times gone by that have had an impact, influence, a good testimony, and that kind of thing, the reputation. But how do we get there? We need to be concerned about these things, looking within. Let us challenge ourselves to do so, and do so to the honor and glory of the Lord. Let's all stand. We'll ask for the mic to come. Musicians come. We'll conclude our services with a verse of song tonight.